Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I am April Jones, and I am your host for this evening for the Birth to Life radio show. So this is my very first radio show, and I am very excited for my fellow teachers out there. It is Friday. I hope you guys are enjoying your evenings, whether you're spending time with your families, are you going out to the restaurant, going to get something to eat, or you're finishing up an assignment for college, because I know a lot of us teachers are in school getting our bachelor's, associate's, PhD. So I will say let's celebrate the end of this week. So I want to talk a little bit about myself. I have been in the birth through five early care education field for about 15 years now. And I am still a full-time teacher. I'm an inclusion teacher. I teach the toddlers, so they are older toddlers, actually. They are young twos turning three. So they will not, most of my children in my class will not turn three until spring, most of them. So right now we started school on August the 1st, and the school year is going so nicely. I know that two-year-olds are wired with energy throughout the day, so I definitely have my work cut out for me, but I enjoy where I teach. I'm an inclusion teacher, so that means that part of our school where we teach in the Greater Atlanta area is we have kids with special needs. About 20 to 30% of our school, we have children with special needs, severe to moderate. So in my classroom this year, I do have a few kids with special needs, but I have been an inclusion teacher for 2 years, but the bulk of my time I spent in Georgia pre-K. I was a Georgia pre-K teacher in the state of Georgia. So the Georgia pre-K lottery program, I was a Georgia pre-K teacher for about 8-9 years, and that's where I learned a lot of the fundamentals of early care education, high quality education, and also just learning about how what is appropriate for children. So I definitely love teaching in the birth through five field. I did not always want to be a teacher. That's the funny thing. I thought I was going to choose a different path, but all my life I have always and somehow been connected to children. My very first time volunteering somewhere was at a child care center, and I was 13 because it's five of us in my family. I have four other siblings. And I have twin brothers and a younger sister, and I have an older sister. But they were attending the child care center in my neighborhood community, and I was 13. And that age right there is kind of awkward because you're too young to work, but at the same time, you're too old to be like in an after-school program. So the director asked my mother, she asked her, she said, what is your daughter doing over the summer? Like, what plans does she have? And my mother was like, well, she really doesn't have any plans. I really don't have any plans for her because my mom was a single parent at the time. And the director was like, well, she should come up here. She should spend her time productively. So I worked and volunteered from 9 to 5 in the two-year-old classroom. And then I was thinking, oh, man, this work is really, really grueling. And even though that was years ago, I still can remember those times where they had learning centers. And I was just a young teenager. but I started to grasp the concept of teaching kids very quickly. And at the time, the teacher that I was working with, she was very energetic. And she basically, I remember her being very patient and very nice with me. And so after a while, they kind of treated me like an adult teacher. You know, I led songs, I led activities, I cleaned, I changed diapers, I helped with potty training, I went outside. I was basically like another teacher. And my director at the time told me, she said, you need to go to school for education because you have a gift for teaching. But at the time, I was thinking, oh, no, I don't think I could do this all day. This is very exhausting. This is very tiring. Like when 5 o'clock hit, when it was time for 5 o'clock to hit, I basically ran out there with my brothers and sisters. But at the same time, I did enjoy it. So fast forward, I went to college for environmental science and anthropology. And that did not work out for me. Something was still missing. I took a break from college, and I started working at the local daycare center right up the street from me where I was living at the time. And I became a floater. And the director at the time noticed that I had some strengths because I was working in different classrooms. And then they were in their second year of Georgia Pre-K. They just got their the Georgia Pre-K lottery program, and they were moving into their second year at the end of the summer. And at the time, the lead teacher was having some difficulty with her assistant teacher helping out in the classroom, being a part of the classroom. And she actually went to my director and requested me to work in the Georgia Pre-K program. And once I was selected to work in the Georgia Pre-K program besides the lead teacher, that's when I can say my life as an educator literally changed. It literally changed for the best and for the greater good, because I learned that in that moment when I became a Georgia Pre-K teacher, I thought that this is for me. This is exactly what I wanted to do. The reason why I didn't want to be a teacher in the past, because I always thought of teachers like teaching through worksheets, children sitting at desks, doing PowerPoint presentations. So in my mind, a lot of it was just boring to me. Like a lot of times school was boring to me. I was a very hands-on person. I was a very creative person. That's how I particularly learned. But when I start working in the Georgia Pre-K program, and they said that their philosophy was for children not to use any worksheets, I was like, this is the type of teaching that was made for me. This is the type of teacher that I'm going to be. So the great thing is I was brand new to the program, and when it was time for me to be selected for training, I literally went to the training. My director signed me up in the beginning sessions of training. So I started Georgia Pre-K for 1 week. In the second week, I literally went to training, which was a great blessing in disguise, because it literally set up success for me for the entire year. And when I look back on those moments, I had so much fun with my lead teacher. Yes, we had some challenging moments, but every day was an adventure. She was very hands-on. She was an awesome teacher. She was a great person that modeled great teaching practices for me. And as we began to learn each other and I began to learn about the program, we just strengthened our bonds and we just became greater and greater as a team, to a point where a lot of people couldn't even tell that who was the lead and who was the assistant. And I will talk a little bit about that later in the segment about you developing a great partnership with your co-teacher, whether they're a lead teacher, a lead assistant teacher, or an assistant teacher. So I'll talk a little bit about that, but I just wanted to give a little bit about myself, a little bit of background about myself as well. So I still teach full time, and I love my job as well. And I'm so glad that I'm an inclusion toddler teacher, and I've had many, many rewards along the way, many really trials along the way, but I know that birth through five is, I feel like it's a revolutionary teaching that basically I feel like every school should model. I love project-based learning. I love all of those different things. So the basis of this show is to educate teachers, be a resource for teachers, be a resource for principals. If you have a pre-K program in your school, a preschool program in your school, also to be a resource for administrators, whether you're in a private school, a nonprofit as well. And so this show is about educating, it's about advocating, and it's about learning about different resources that will help you along your way in the journey of teaching. I might not have all the answers, but through this show, we can learn from each other. So I am so, so excited. So right now we're in the month of September. So some of you all are starting school. Some of you guys are starting back to school now. However, my first day of school for the school year was August 1st. So I've been in school session for a little while, and I would definitely tell you that through my years, my 15 years of educating, I have definitely learned some things along the way. So this is where we're going to touch on like our back to school segment. So back to school. I know some of my teachers right now, you're exhausted right now. You're still learning your kids. You're still learning your parents. You're still learning transitions. You're still getting to know administrators. If you're a returning teacher, you have your bones in education, but there might be some different things that you didn't do from the years before that you would like to do. It's some different things that you would like to do based on your teaching team. Where I teach, they change the teaching teams basically almost every year because they have a clause where a teacher must move up with the class. So it becomes very interesting. But there are some things that I definitely want to touch on when it comes to back to school for teachers. Number one, self-care. Self-care is so important for a teacher. Trust me, it has been a challenge and it has been a journey for me to learn about me taking care of myself as a teacher. And trust me, I'm still learning those things right now. Self-care. Just know that as a teacher, we are in the beginning of the school year, and it's important that you take it one day at a time. If you had a great day, celebrate that day. Celebrate the transition. Celebrate your morning circle. Celebrate your large group, and think on those things. If you had a tough day, try your best to say, okay, this was a teachable moment for me. This was a teachable moment for me. I did not fail. No matter what happens, know that you are not a failure in the field of education if you are passionate about it. Because not only are we students, are we teachers to our students, but we are students as well. We're learning along with our children as well in the classroom. So these are some tools that has helped me along the way, but just try to celebrate even those small, small little moments and tell yourself how great you are. Your children in your classroom are depending on you. Your team is depending on you as well, and the administrators and the parents are depending on you. And sometimes it can be a great weight depending on what type of children you have in your classroom. Sometimes you have children that are that have behavioral issues, that are very challenging, whether they have a disability or you have a helicopter parent that's watching you along the way that just doesn't trust you yet, or you have a helicopter administrator. But just know that I want you as an educator to celebrate every single milestone, whether it be small, whether it be large. Tell yourself that I put my best foot forward. So what are some of the things that you can do at self-care? One of the things that I have been doing on my way to work is I meditate sometimes, and I pray, and I just listen to music. I just turn on some music. I just listen to music. And then when I get in my classroom, because the way my classroom is set up, I have my teacher planning in the mornings. So sometimes I arrive a little bit early before my work schedule, and I just go in and I just drink some water. I go to the bathroom, and I just have some moments of quietness while I try to prepare my day. I try to focus on the positive for today. I look around the classroom, and I tell myself we're going to have a great day despite what happens or what goes on. And I look around, and I look at the different things that the children are doing, and I'm just excited to be there. There are moments where I come in, and I'm a little slowful some mornings because I'm exhausted. I am tired because I have poured so much into the children. But that's one of the things that I'm learning to do more and more and more. And I'm working on my health regimen as well. But I go in and I just give myself moments to think and settle. So sometimes if you go into the school and you're basically slam soon as you get there, even if you have kids soon as you get there, just try to take a few moments, even if you have to sit in your car in the parking lot and just turn on some music, or you just have to do some breathe-in sessions where you have to breathe in and out and just walk and pace yourself before you go into the building, whether you're praying, whether you're meditating. But think about having a great day first. That's what I want you to do. Sometimes it's tough depending on what you're facing, but always think about having a great day first. So that's what I do as well. Another thing that I do sometimes is when it's my lunch break, I just simply just go outside. You know, some people, they go to get some lunch or they hang out with a friend and they go walking on their break. But sometimes I just simply just go outside just to get some fresh air for my lunch break. The great thing is that we have 15-minute breaks before our lunch break. So sometimes we just have that moment to just kind of decompress, because you definitely need moments where you are decompressing. The more and more you have moments where you're trying to implement self-care into your day and you are decompressing, giving yourself a little break here and there, is the better that you're going to be for yourself as a teacher. Another thing that I wanted to touch on as well is I wanted to talk about your co-teachers' relationship. If you are a person that has assistant teachers, or you're an assistant teacher, or you're a lead teacher or assistant teacher, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is just trying to get to know your assistant or your lead teacher or your substitute teacher that comes in, or your floater. Try to get to know them and see what their story is and see, like, how they are, what are they passionate about. Just try to build relationship right there, because it's very important. Because one thing that I have discovered as a teacher is that children are very, very, very intuitive. They can pick up on your energy the minute that they see you, the minute that you walk in the classroom. They know that when you're stressed, they know when you're happy. And my toddlers, they're at the point, and the children in my classroom, where they're building language. They are building language. But they can tell when the teacher is excited to be there. They can tell that when the teachers are engaged and they want to communicate with them and they want to interact with them. So we have to keep that in mind, that the energy that we bring into the classroom does affect the children in our classroom. It really does. If you set your mind, no matter what you're facing this year in your classroom, and you just go in there, especially if you're having some difficulty along the way. And I'll talk a little bit about that as well. But try to set your mind to bring a good energy into the classroom no matter what. You're just going to tell yourself, I got this. You know, I prepared myself. I went on the internet and my children were acting crazy a little bit at the carpet and they weren't paying attention to me before morning circle or during learning time, but guess what? I looked on the internet and I went to Dr. Jean's website. I'm throwing out a resource out there, drjean.org. She has plenty of songs and transitions, and I learned a new transition. I'm going to do one transition with the children, and I'm going to do one song with the children before we start our morning circle, and I'm going to continue to do that over and over and over again, and I'm going to be excited about it. I will definitely tell you that you will change the culture of your classroom. You will change that classroom culture. Even if you have a person, I'm kind of going through that right now, even if you have a person that is not as excited or a co-teacher that is not as excited as you, you will definitely influence those kids. And if you have a parent to come in and walk in your classroom, especially a helicopter parent to come in and walk in your classroom, and you just tune them out or tune any administrator out, and you are engulfed in yourself in that activity. As a teacher, what I want you to do is I want you to visualize you and the children in your very own world. You don't hear anything. You don't see anything. You are so focused on the kids that you don't even realize if somebody is just standing there and just observing you or watching you or assessing you. And sometimes it's not always a negative thing. Sometimes people like to watch other teachers, especially when they are on top of their game, and especially when they have the children engaged. And sometimes they look back and like, wow, how do they do that? How are they able to do that? Because some parents, they need our help. They need us to teach them as well. And that's one thing that I have learned as well, is that you have to not only teach the children, but sometimes you have to teach the administrators. Sometimes you have to teach other co-teachers. And sometimes you have to teach parents as well. Parents can be your greatest resource as to educating. So another thing that you can do is, as you're getting to learn your co-teacher, have them get involved too. Talk to them the day before, or talk to them like for a few minutes before you gather the children for morning circle. Hey, I'm doing, you know, 5 speckled frogs, and I have the props right here. What I want you to do is I want you to do like a transition. I got this transition, and I want you to do this transition, and then I'm going to gather the children, and then while I'm doing the transition, I want you to videotape it with me. Just be in a flow like you guys are dancing, but you're dancing so well together. You didn't even have to learn the choreography. It's just like a beautiful dance. So I want us to think about that as we touch on the beginning of the school year. In my classroom, this is my second year, started my second year in my current classroom where I teach now. When I started at my center, I was in a different classroom because I was with the younger toddlers. So I was with the toddlers that was turning two. And so I had I love the layout of the classroom. I had a beautiful classroom. It was great. I came into the classroom as a lead teacher in the beginning of the second semester, the winter semester. So I became a lead teacher then because they were having some concerns and some issues in the classroom. They were having a high turnover with young toddlers, and we know that young toddlers have very little attention spans. So it was quite difficult to keep teachers that wanted to really work with that age group, to be honest. So the administrators, they learned that I had a background working with children for a while, and they know that for the most part I've always worked with preschoolers and pre-Kers, but they asked me, they said, "Miss April, can you please, please, please go into this classroom? We can potentially move you into another age group, but for right now, can you go into this classroom for the remaining of the school year?" Because our school year technically doesn't end until July. "And please go into this classroom." So I went into the classroom, and even though it was hard work, there are many times I came early and stayed late, and I had to rearrange the room, I had to label the room, all of these different things, like during planning time, which most teachers get to get the room together, but I didn't have any planning time, so I had to do it during that time. But I will tell you, the classroom, we came out on top. Like I said, it was a lot of issues in that classroom, but you would have never known. I started to really build rapport with the teachers that I was working with. At the time, I was with a temp, and at the time, I was with an assistant teacher that had been there for a little while. And what I did was I just tried to get to know them. I would ask them, like, what do you love doing with children? Like, what ideas do you have? I told them that when people come into our classroom, I don't want them to be able to tell who's the lead teacher. I want us to be so on our stuff that when people come into our classroom, they just see good teamwork. That's all they see. They just see a great teamwork, even if I have to do a little bit more work on the back end. But I just want people to see that we are a great team and the children are flourishing. So I just tried to get to know the teachers as much as possible. I tried to let them lead. I asked them, like, you know, would you mind, you know, doing a bulletin board this month? But I had one teacher, she honestly did not want to do the bulletin board. She said, oh, I'm not creative and I can't paint, I can't draw, I can't do this, I can't do that. But I had to inspire her to change her thinking about that, because when I think about bulletin boards, it's not necessarily about what the teacher can do, but it's about, you want to show what the children can do. You want to see, you want to display what the children are learning. It's great to have 3D, and I can do the 3D, and I can do the immaculate bulletin boards, but it's wonderful to see where parents see what their child, how they was instrumental in doing a project throughout the week. Or what they learned about, what book you covered, taking pictures of their small group and things like that. And she decided to do an art project with the children. And it took her a little while because she kept thinking about the different materials to use, and sometimes she questioned herself. And yes, it did take her 2 weeks to put the bulletin board idea up. But I told her that it was totally okay. It was totally fine. When I looked at the bulletin board, I was so proud of her, and I was so proud of the children. And she said, well, it doesn't look like a well-crafted idea. It doesn't look like what other teachers. And I said, no, it looks like the children's work, and that's what's important. And she wanted to do more. And I had another teacher at the time. She'd never been to school for education, and she was a temp, but she was considering enrolling in school because she had a gift as well. She was great. She was really good. One of her strengths was really good about organizing the classroom and making sure that the materials were cleaned and sanitized and making sure the children went home with certain things. So she had her giftings as well. So yes, that's what I talk about, building good rapport with your teachers. And sometimes it's not easy because we're all different. We all have our strengths. Sometimes, you know, certain teachers have strong personalities. They're very strong-willed in their thinking. But no matter what, continue to strive and do the very best that you can do. And hopefully things will change around, or you will build such a good rapport with your teachers. So the last segment that I would like to talk about a little bit is looking at the classroom layout. This, so I was in that beautifully classroom when I transitioned in the middle of the year, and even though it was a lot of work, I enjoyed the layout of it. I enjoyed the materials. And whoever was in that classroom before, I could tell that they really tried very hard in organizing the classroom. So on my end, it wasn't a whole lot to do. But when they decided, once I finished that term and my director came to me and decided to move me up an age group, I was very excited because I was like, yes, I'm moving up because I'm used to working with children from 2 to 5 years old. So she told me that I was working with the older toddlers, and I was so excited. I was like, yes, yes, yes. And when she told me what classroom I was going to, I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, sometimes when you go to certain classrooms, it can be very, very overwhelming. I was so overwhelmed when I went into this classroom because there was stuff everywhere. I mean, stuff was not organized. Things were old. Things need to be thrown out. I was so overwhelmed. I was like, oh, my goodness. The moment she told me that where I was moving to the classroom, it was about 2 to 3 weeks, and then we would have to prepare for the upcoming school year. So the minute she told me that I was going into that classroom, I was in there every afternoon throwing stuff away. I was throwing, I had someone in the closet had old tissue paper and old ripped books and all kinds of stuff. And I was just in there throwing stuff away, decluttering. So I had a big bag of trash, like 2 to 3 big bags of trash, like literally like every week. And I still wasn't done. Right now in my classroom, I am so happy. And what I've learned is that I wanted to really get the classroom together how I wanted to that first year that I went into that classroom, but it just didn't happen that way because there was so much to do. There was so much to do. But this year, I can say that I am pleased with the classroom. And one of the things that I've learned is that sometimes as teachers, you have to reach out to people and tell them that, hey, I need help. And that's exactly what I did. I went to my curriculum director first because we had a teacher meeting, and she said before the school year starts during the month of July, what we would like for you guys to do is start relabeling your learning centers and start decluttering and throwing things away so that we know when school starts, we know what we need to buy, or we can already order these things before school starts so that way you won't be overwhelmed and be stressed about what you need in the classroom to make sure that the children have the functional materials that they needed. So I was like, great. She had everything organized. So I was like, okay, that's a start, because that helped me, because initially I was just overwhelmed that entire year. Now, I did have 2 assistant teachers, but both of those teachers do not have a strong background in classroom arrangement. They do not they were basically, me as a teacher, I was modeling for them high-quality education because the child care centers that they were from, they were not NACE accredited. And in Georgia, here, we now have quality rated. So the centers, wherever they came from, they wasn't NACE accredited or quality rated. And we had one temp that worked for a temp agency, and she became an assistant teacher. But however, since she was a temp, she wasn't really responsible of learning about NACE and different things. She was just a substitute teacher. So I, on the other hand, I had the knowledge. I tried to inspire them to learn about the different learning centers and things, but it did take some time. So I went to my curriculum person and I told her, I said, this is great. I want to inspire my team to do this as well. But I told her, I said, I know I need to change this classroom around and I'm going to need your help. I'm just going to need your help because I'm so overwhelmed about what needs to go where. And I even reached out to another teacher. She's very strong in classroom arrangement, very creative. And I said, I need you to come in my room as well. And that's what I did one evening while the children were outside. Me and my curriculum coordinator, we changed the room around in the middle of July, and I was so happy about it. I noticed that what I needed to do is when we looked at the classroom arrangement, we had to throw out large furniture pieces because my classroom is not the current classroom that I'm in now. It's a smaller classroom than the classroom that I was before. And what I've learned about smaller classrooms, even though this seems like a common sense thing, you cannot have big, large furniture in a small classroom. And then some of the classroom furniture that was in the classroom was not developmentally appropriate for the toddlers. So it had to be thrown out. And what I've discovered when I really start looking at the furniture pieces, they just need to be thrown in trash can. So, yes. So that really, really helped me as a teacher, my journey, and it really elevated my energy and my excitement as a teacher, my classroom design, your classroom layout, your classroom arrangement. It's so important. And I challenge all the teachers to, even though it's the beginning of the school year, or even if you're a veteran teacher, really look at your classroom, especially if you're having children that are having behavioral issues or it's hard for them to kind of maneuver in the centers or transition in the centers, or your centers have blind spots, because that's what I noticed too. Like, I had to switch my learning centers on opposite ends of the classroom. Like when I say I changed my classroom around, I literally changed my classroom around, basically moved every furniture piece for the exception of a few furniture pieces. So it's vitally important that you look at your classroom arrangement. Vitally important. Number one, it's good to have quiet centers on one side of the room and loud centers on another side of the room. Very important when you are arranging your classroom. Look at your materials in your classroom, in your math center, in your fine motor center, in your writing center, your library center. If anything is broken, throw it in the trash. And tell your director, because I noticed that I had to go to my director, and I was very patient that year when I moved into the classroom, but I was unhappy about certain things that were in my room. And I just basically had a heart-to-heart with her, and I told her that I will not be keeping anything that's broken. I will not be keeping anything in the room that is not functional for the children. And I was very serious about that. And I told my curriculum coordinator, I was like, I need you to really support me in this, because I know that some directors can be very strong-willed as well. But we all know, no matter where we teach, in whatever state that we teach in, no matter what child care center we are in, you're not supposed to have anything broken in your classroom, no matter what. Okay? So we did that. Got rid of the furniture pieces. They came in my room. All three administrators came in my room. They questioned and asked, like, why you want to get rid of this? And what they discovered is I needed more things. So, yes, look at the arrangement in your classroom. Make sure that the children learn about the materials too as well. In the lesson plan, what I decided to do in the beginning of the school year is I had small groups based on the learning centers. So I had one small group about learning the purpose of using magnets. What is the purpose? How do they use them? Why do we have magnets in our classroom? Why do we have the rocks in the science center? I did this for a number of weeks before I went into heavy content. So through the entire month of August, and I even still do it now, we had the children to go into the housekeeping area, talk about the clothes, practice learning how to hang up the clothing, put it on a hook. We talked about the different food that we had in our housekeeping center and showed them the label and showed them where it goes. In the block area, what I decided to do is the blocks, I traced the blocks with construction paper, and I put contact paper over them on the shelves so they can match the shape. That's not only great tool for cleaning up and management, but you can just simply assess the children just by that. So I did that. I looked at, do I need to take some of these toys out of this area? Yes, we are supposed to have a certain number of puzzles and a certain number of art area, art materials in the art center. But let's look at what we're supposed to have and teach the intended purpose of each material, and then add as the school year goes along, because you're supposed to rotate your materials in the learning centers. So I did that for weeks. And I'm still doing it now, because what I've noticed is I didn't want the children, the toddlers, grabbing the scissors and running around the classroom with the scissors. They knew the intended purpose of scissors, because we taught in a small group, and during morning circle time, we taught how to use a marker. I would sing a little song. This is the way you use the marker. Use the marker. Use the marker. This is the way you use the marker. Put the top on, and then put the top on. So we did the toddler click, where the children had to put the marker on the top on the marker and say click, so we wouldn't have a bunch of dried out markers everywhere in our art center. And we sing that song over and over again, and I still do some revisits during morning circle time. So I will put the toddler click, type it up on a sheet of paper. I will put a marker and put it in the bulletin board area, and I will use the classroom corner and have the children sing the song with me. So think about that. If the children are using the materials inappropriately in the classroom, think about how you can incorporate that, how they can learn to use those materials appropriately, and you can use those teaching moments in morning circle, large group, and especially during small group time, where you break the children into different small groups and you have the teachers lead and talk to them and let them touch the materials, explore the materials, but learn the intended purpose of it. And my last thought is I wanted to highlight a few quick things. I wanted to talk a little bit about classroom decorations. You know, really think about what you put on the walls in the classroom and think about if it's overstimulating for the children, especially in the beginning of the school year, because you don't want to have it so cluttered and junky in the classroom. So just think about that. But thank you again, guys. I'm going to touch on some more things with our session tonight, our back to school session, and probably I'll do another back to school session in the beginning of the school year. But thank you so much for listening and tuning in, and I hope that I was able to inspire my teachers tonight. I hope that I was able to inspire you all, give you a resource or two, and really think about your classroom. Remember, the children are wired for learning, and they are in your hands, and birth through five is a wonderful feel, and we just know that we are brain building for our children, just brain building. Have fun, teach, inspire the parents, and just know that you're making an impact for life. This is April Jones with the Birth to Life segment. Have a good evening.